Yes, the Lord is always faithful and true to us. It's us who are sometimes not. Today's message is entitled, What a Difference a Relationship Makes. Have you ever heard of the term spiritual application? Well, for those of you who haven't, whenever we read a story in the Bible, it has more than one application. Every single story in the Bible has a spiritual application. So what does that mean? We can take a story, look at it, and apply it to our walk with Christ. And, you know, the Bible is so wonderful because there's more than what's on the surface. You can go so deep into some of these stories that just keep revealing more and more truth. There's so much to learn. Today's we're going to go over a story that's very familiar to us, and we're going to look at the spiritual application to it. The story we're going to be looking at is David and Goliath. So that's found in 1 Samuel 17. But before we continue, let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. Thank you for this opportunity you've given me to speak. I ask that you may use me as your mouthpiece and that your words and your words alone may be heard, not my own. Please guide us and continue to teach us through your word. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we go into the story of David and Goliath, we're going to kind of take a look at David and David's preparation before he met Goliath. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says, "And when he had removed him," this is talking about when God removed Saul as king, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." The problem with Saul is that at the beginning, when Saul was chosen, he was humble. He didn't have a lot of confidence in himself, so he was willing to rely on the Lord. But then, as he was put into power, pride started to come in. And no longer was Saul putting his confidence in the Lord, but he was putting his confidence in Saul. So, I think it's 1 Samuel 15, where the kingdom was torn away from Saul, and God had to choose another to replace him. The reason why God chose David is because David knew the Lord. As we see here, it says David was a man after his own heart. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now we could apply this in many ways, but think about David. He sought the Lord. He wanted a relationship with the Lord. That's what it meant when it said he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to know God. David was a shepherd, so in his time in the field, he would sing praises to the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was very skilled with the harp, so he made up his own songs, praising the Lord while he was out there tending the sheep. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament, before Kings. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 6. So this is shortly after the Lord told Samuel that Saul was no longer fit to be a king, and he had to choose another. So God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Starting at verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab. Eliab was the firstborn of Jesse's 8 sons. It said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's what's important to the Lord. Not the physical appearance, not the education. It's what's in the heart that matters to him. Can he work with this individual? Is this individual going to humble themselves before him and rely on him for guidance? That's what the Lord is seeking here. So Samuel goes through the first 7, and the Lord keeps denying, you know, it's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one. So then there's none left before him. So Samuel's like, are these all your sons? Said, no, there's one more out in the field. So he brings David over. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him now, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. The Lord knew prior to Samuel being there who David was, and he knew that this was the man who was going to be the king over Israel. So Samuel anointed David with the oil. He was going to be the next one to reign after Saul. So prior to the encounter with David and Goliath, the Lord had chosen David. He's going to be the king. He's now preparing him for the task at hand. The most important part to understand here is that David had a relationship with the Lord. So now, the Philistines declare war on the nation of Israel. Here you have 2 massive armies faced against each other. You have the Philistines on one side and the Israelites on the other, and in between them is a valley. The Philistines send out their champion, who would be their greatest warrior, who was Goliath. The Bible tells us he was over 10 feet tall. He was a man of war, covered in armor. You know, armor, weapons. This man was a soldier. For 40 days, morning and evening, Goliath would come out and challenge Israel, saying, here I am. Send me your champion and we'll fight. If I win, you will be our servants. If you win, we will be your servants. But for 40 days, not one soldier came out to meet this challenge. The Bible tells us that they were exceedingly afraid. Why? During these 40 days, the first 3 sons of Jesse, one of them being Eliab, were enrolled into the Israel's army. So they were among the mass army who were afraid of one man. So Jesse sends out David to go to his brothers to see how everything's going, bring them food. David arrives. As David arrives, Goliath comes back out, starts blaspheming God again. David hears this, and this is David's response. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, I wasn't there when this happened, but I could just imagine how upset David is by hearing these words from Goliath. Why was he upset? Because Goliath was bad-mouthing the God that David loved. Imagine, for those of you who are married or have somebody in your life who you care about so much, and somebody were to come up and just start bad-mouthing that person. You get upset, right? Well, this is how David felt. You know, David had a relationship with the Lord. He knew the Lord. And here is this man coming out talking poorly about him. So, David volunteers to challenge the Philistine. Let's go down to verse 32. Now, David's brought before Saul, and this is their conversation. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servants slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." Verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Because David had a relationship prior to this event, he had experiences with the Lord, he was able to trust him. You know, in the small things, David was able to build a trusting relationship with the Lord. You know, tending the flock, you know, if a predator came and tried to take one of them out, he fought against them. But David didn't fight in the strength of David. David fought in the strength of the Lord. His testimony to Saul here is that the Lord delivered these animals into my hands. And the same way he did that, he's going to deliver this Philistine into my hands. The only way David was able to do this was because of the prior relationship. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't trust somebody the first time I meet them. You know, it takes a little bit. You know, I got to talk to them. You know, sometimes I got to, you know, see how they deal with certain situations, how they would deal with me. You know, there needs to be some time spent together. So the same thing goes with us in Christ. You know, we need to have that trusting relationship with him, but that means we need to spend time with him. We need to talk to him. You know, if something's bothering us, "Lord, I don't understand why this is happening, but, you know, I'm putting it into your hands. Help me get through this." So David, out in the field, tending the flock, built a relationship with the Lord and built trust with the Lord. First Samuel 17:26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "38 and 39. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. When David was out in the field tending the flock, he was not covered in armor. He did not have a sword at his side. He was a shepherd. So all he had was his shepherd's staff and his sling. So the trust was not in the weapons that men make. The trust was always in the Lord. David put on the armor of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to stop there real quick. Paul's saying we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other. We're fighting against an enemy that we can't see. So, you know, since we're not fighting flesh and blood, we can't use the weapons that destroy flesh and blood. We can't use the weapons that defend us from flesh and blood. We need spiritual weapons because we are in the middle of a spiritual warfare. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All of these are spiritual applications. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how we fight spiritual warfare. The spiritual application to the story of David and Goliath is putting ourselves in David's shoes. David went up against a foe that was bigger than him, stronger than him, more experienced than him. I mean, just looking at the statistics, just man against man, David didn't stand a chance. Especially after he took off all that armor and just went out with his shepherd's staff. But the difference is, David did not trust in the armor. He did not trust in his own strength. His trust was in the Lord. He had all of these spiritual applications applied to him. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 17. Starting at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. David did not look like a warrior. He was a pretty boy, a pretty shepherd boy. Compared to Goliath, who was a man of war, this huge man, almost over 10 feet tall. I mean, I'm only 5'10", so that's a lot bigger. So when Goliath sees David, he gets upset. He's like, seriously, this is who you send? But unfortunately for the Philistine, he was only looking on the flesh. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth, and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. So Goliath's like, well, this is pretty much a done deal. You know, just come with me and let's get it over with. Psalm 56, verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. You know, if you read through the book of Psalms, you see a lot of verses like this. David saying, in God I have put my trust. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord was everything to David. This is why we see throughout all the stories in the Bible why David was so successful in life, because he relied on the Lord. If you continue to read 1 Samuel, whenever David was about to go out to war, he went to God first. Should I go out after these people? God said, okay, go. He never went before the Lord. First Samuel 17:45. After the Philistine comes to David and challenges and said, all right, come to me so I could just kill you and let the fowls eat your flesh. David's response, probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So David plainly states, he's coming to him in the name of the Lord, in his strength. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Absolute trust in the Lord here. The battle belongs to the Lord, not us. You know, if the enemy's coming at us on all different angles, and we just feel like, you know, we're about to cave in, that's the time that we go to the Lord. Even before that, never give up. Go to the Lord, because the battle belongs to him. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I asked a question earlier. When Goliath first came out and was challenging Israel, not one person came forward. And I asked why. No love. Not one of them had a trusting, loving relationship with the Lord to be able to go out and fight the Philistine. The Lord's anointed, David, had to be sent and fight for them. A shepherd boy with no military experience, but all the experience with trusting in the Lord. What a difference a relationship makes. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. David was so in love with the Lord that there was no room for fear or anxiety. He was just overflowing with this love that he had for God, that he didn't care about who he was going up against. All he cared about was preserving the Lord's name, to let everybody know that there is a God in Israel. He stood up for the one that he loved the most. Back to 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Notice that there was absolutely no hesitation with David here. As soon as the Philistines start coming towards him, he was off, running at him. I can't even imagine the reactions of the Israelites. Is this boy crazy? Running after this man, all he has is a staff in his hand and five stones with a sling? Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and fell, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Imagine the fear that struck the Philistines now. Their greatest warrior just got taken down by a boy. But I want you to also notice, even though David struck the Philistine with the stone and he fell down, the battle wasn't over yet. David had to cut his head off and completely finish the job. So it is with us. You know, we may be struggling with sins today and temptations. The Lord wants us to overcome completely. Completely cut it off. Done. There's a psalm that I've read multiple times, and I think it fits very well with this story. I don't know if it was written specifically from this, but it just fits so well. It's Psalm 23. David, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Where did David and Goliath fight? In a valley. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen to that. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, because it shows the power of God and the power of trusting in Him. That you can prevail any obstacle. No matter how much Satan may be knocking on your door, we need to put our trust in the Lord, whatever it may be. You know, sometimes we continue to struggle with sin because we want to fight the battle ourselves. But that's not what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to rely on Him. He died on the cross to open up a way for us to come to Him with all of our problems. We need to start trusting in the Lord today and continue every day after this. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for the testimonies in your word to show that we can overcome with our trust in you.
You are our strength and our salvation. You are everything to us. Please continue to guide us and help us to walk straight before you. Please bless us with the Holy Spirit and lead us through another week that we may continue to come together and worship together. I thank you, Lord, and I ask in Jesus' name, amen.